Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a refill push in Ableton Live 12 for that 90s inspired dark jungle and old school DNB vibe. This is an advanced arrangement technique, so we're not just designing a bass sound here. We're using the bass as an edit tool, something that leans forward, creates pressure, and makes the next bar feel inevitable. The big idea is simple. Think forward pressure, not just fill. A good Reese push does not sound like a random bass lick at the end of a loop. It sounds like the track is inhaling right before the next hit. That's the energy we want. Heavy, restrained, and nasty in the best way. First, let's build the Reese properly, because the arrangement only works if the sound itself is controlled. On a MIDI track, create an instrument rack and split it into two chains. One chain is your sub, the other is your Reese mid. On the sub chain, keep it dead simple. Use operator, analog, or any clean sine-based source. One oscillator, no spread, no movement, no drama. The goal is a stable low end that translates on systems and keeps the track grounded. If you need to, low pass it even further and keep the level sensible. You want headroom, not a bass war. Aim roughly around -12 to -9 dB peak on the chain, just so the low end stays comfortable. Now on the mid-chain, this is where the Reese lives. Use wavy-table, analog, or operator with two detune saws or a saw and triangle style setup. Keep the detune modest. We are not making a modern super saw. We're making a dark, slightly unstable 90s bass tone. Think subtle motion, not giant width. A little bit of oscillator drift or slow LFO movement can add that uneasy feeling without turning it into chaos. After the synth, put a saturator on the mid-chain, turn soft clip on and add a few dB of drive, somewhere in the 2 to 6 dB range as a starting point. That gives us harmonic density and a bit of bite. Then follow it with auto-filter, usually low-passed somewhere around 180 to 500 Hz depending on how much upper-mid growl you want. In a darker tune, the mid-range doesn't need to be bright to be effective. In fact, a lot of the power comes from keeping it controlled. That split is important. The sub gives you the club weight. The mid gives you the emotional movement. Old school darkness lives in that contrast. The bass is one thing down low, and another thing in the mids. Now let's write the phrase. This is where a lot of people go wrong, because they try to write a full bass line when they really need a short, disciplined phrase with space. For this style, think in two-bar or four-bar language. Keep it rooted around the tonic, the fifth, and the octave. If you want tension, introduce a passing note or a chromatic touch right before the push. But don't overdo it. For example, in D minor, you might have a simple groove in the first bars, then at the end of bar 4, you add a slightly higher note, maybe an octave lift or a short pickup note. The point is not to create a new melody. The point is to create a phrase change. The fill should feel like the bass is leaning into the next section, not stepping away from the groove. A really useful mindset here is contrast, not chaos. If your main phrase is busy, make the fill a bit simpler rhythmically but more active in tone. If your main phrase is sparse, the fill can be slightly busier. Either way, protect the root. Even when you move up, the ear should still feel the key center. That keeps the darkness intact. Now let's make the fill push actually push. Duplicate the last half bar or the final bar of the phrase, then edit that section so it clearly changes. You can shorten the last note, add a quick 1/16th or 1/8th pickup, shift the final note up an octave for a moment, or place the last hit slightly after the snare instead of on it. That last one is a classic. A little answer note phrasing can feel very 90s, very intentional and very mean in the right context. Another strong move is a broken rhythm fill. Instead of one long note, try two short hits and a rest. That often creates more forward motion than simply holding the note longer. And that's the key. The fill should feel compressed, like a little rhythmic exhale before the next bar. Now for the automation. Because this is where the fill becomes a real event. On the Reese mid-chain, automate the auto-filter cutoff, so the main groove stays more closed and the fill opens up. A good starting move is something like 180 to 300 Hz in the main phrase, then up to 600 Hz, maybe even 1.2 Hz during the fill, depending on how aggressive you want it. Don't sweep wildly unless you want a more obvious effect. In dark DNB, subtle often hits harder than dramatic. Also automate the saturator drive. Just a small increase during the fill, maybe 2 to 4 dB more, can make the phrase feel more urgent without making it louder in a blunt way. That's a really important distinction. We want harmonic energy, not just volume. If you want a little more width, use utility on the mid-chain and open it slightly during the fill only. Keep the sub-mono, always. The fill can become a little wider in the mids, but the foundation has to stay centered. If you widen the whole thing, especially the low end, You lose the club weight and the base starts to feel soft instead of dangerous. If you're using Waveeatable, you can also automate Waveeatable position or unison amount very lightly. Again, this is not about a huge sound design transformation. It's about making the bass sound like the same creature suddenly got more agitated for a moment. Here's a really important teacher note. Let the last note do the talking. A short tail with a controlled cutoff move often reads heavier than a longer, more dramatic phrase. A lot of the power comes from what you leave out. Next, let's talk about resampling, because this is one of the strongest advanced Ableton moves for old-school edits. Resample the fill. Seriously, do it. Route the Reese to a new audio track, record just the fill section, and then treat that recorded audio-like part of your arrangement toolbox. Once it's audio, you can warp it, reverse a slice, trim the tail, fade it cleanly, or even slice it to a new-made track if you want different fragments to trigger later. This is where the bass starts to feel like an edit, not just an instrument part. You can chop off the final transient, pitch the tail down a little, or create a reversed pre-hit swell leading into the next bar. For jungle and old-school DNB, that kind of construction gives the track a more authored feel. It sounds arranged, not just programmed. If you want extra menace, you can duplicate the Reese mid-chain and process the duplicate with heavier saturation or overdrive, then blend it in quietly. That parallel grit can make the fill feel more unstable without wrecking clarity. Just keep it low. We're not trying to flatten the note identity. Now let's lock the bass to the drums, because in DNB, bass and drums are basically one rhythm machine. The fill should answer the break, not fight it. Listen to the snare placement, the ghost notes, the kick accents, and the little pockets in the breakbeat. If the drums are busy, keep the bass fill shorter and lower. If the break drops out slightly, you can let the fill be more expressive. A small gap in the drums can make the bass feel massive. A great arrangement move is to place the fill in the last half of a four-bar phrase, then have the drum break do a slight variation at the same time. That call and response relationship is a huge part of the old-school vibe. The bass says something, the break answers, and the next downbeat lands with force. If the fill isn't landing, check the groove envelope. If you've changed the timing too much, it may stop sounding like a jungle edit and start sounding like a different bassline. Keep it tight. A little drag or push is fine, but the phrase still has to feel like it belongs to the loop. Let's shake the transient and keep the low end disciplined. If the fill feels too blurry, tighten the MIDI note lengths or use a gate lightly. If it feels too flat, use a tiny bit of envelope follower movement or subtle auto-filter envelope action to give the front of the note a little bark. Drum boss can also help on the mid-chain or bass boss, but keep it tasteful. A little drive, very light crunch if needed, and usually no boom on the bass itself unless you specifically want that effect. And here's a critical rule. Always check the fill in mono and at low volume. If it still feels urgent when turned down, you're probably doing it right. If it only sounds exciting loud, it may be relying too much on hype and not enough on phrasing. Now let's talk arrangement, because this technique really comes alive when it's treated as part of a bigger structure. Don't just loop the bass forever. Make a 16-bar section and vary the fill every 4 or 8 bars. For example, you might have a filtered intro into a drop section with a recurring 4-bar fill push, then a switch up, where the fill gets a little more aggressive, then a return to a stripped-down variation. The best old-school arrangements feel like a sequence of controlled edits, not non-stop maximalism. Try adding a tiny delay throw or a very short, reverb burst only on the last note. A small echo send can create a little movement tail, but keep the feedback low and the timing short so the groove doesn't get smeared. The fill should add momentum, not wash over the break. Let's quickly run through some common mistakes to avoid. 1. Don't make the fill too melodic. Keep it tied to the bass language of the track. 2. Don't widen the whole Reese, especially the low end. 3. Don't over-automate the filter. If it starts sounding like a sweep effect, back it off. 4. Don't ignore the drums. 5. Don't overdo distortion and destroy the note shape. And 6. Don't forget the space after the fill. The return to the groove matters just as much as the fill itself. Here are a few advanced variations you can try once the main version works. You can delay one pre-fill note by a few ticks for a dragged before push feeling. You can add a very low octave ghost note under the final fill note for extra weight. You can map velocity to filter cutoff or saturation, so the fill naturally opens when you hit those notes harder. You can also try a tiny bit of chorus only on the fill, or a reversed audio slice from the resampled tail. Even a small nasal bandpass layer blended quietly can give the fill a little more urgency. For the final practice move, build two versions of the same Reese phrase. Make a main loop version that's tight, restrained and simple. Then make a push version, with one rhythmic edit in the last bar, extra filter opening, a bit more saturation, and maybe one resampled tail or reversed slice. Put both into an 8-bar arrangement, alternate them, and test everything with a breakbeat and a sub-heavy kick pattern. If the push version makes the next downbeat feel inevitable without sounding flashy, you've nailed it. So to recap, build the Reese with separate sub and mid control, treat the fill as a phrase edit, use filter and saturation to create tension, keep the sub mono and stable, lock the bass to the drum phrasing, and resample when you want that extra old-school character.